So as you have already heard this morning, today is indeed the third Sunday of Advent. To date, on the past two Sundays, we have focused on hope and peace. But this morning, our thoughts turn toward desperately seeking joy. In our world today, despair, depression, anxiety, constant weariness abound. So maybe we desperately seek joy more than anything else during this Advent season. In our text for today, Mary sings with joy in her heart. It is clear from the words of her song, even from the very beginning. The first words Mary sings are these: "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary is rejoicing. She is full of joy. The candle we have lit today. But why is Mary joyful? You know, if you stop and think about her situation, it might actually seem somewhat strange that Mary is joyful. She has just been informed from the angel of the Lord that all of her plans, all the plans she has for her life, are about to radically change. She was planning to get married to Joseph, and they would settle into their life together, and they would begin their life and their journey in a family together. But she has just been informed from the angel of the Lord that she will still marry Joseph, but before she marries him, she will become pregnant, and Joseph will not be the earthly father. Questions are swirling in her mind as she tries to process this new information. What is Joseph going to think? Surely she was concerned about his feelings. What would her family say? How would her friends respond? What would the people of her town and her village have to say about this situation? These questions and many more are just swirling around in her mind as she tries to understand this unbelievable message she has been given. And to add to her stress, the baby that will be born is no ordinary baby. This baby will be the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the Savior of her people and the entire world. How could she be a mother to such a baby? What a confusing, frightening, life-altering situation Mary finds herself in our text today. She had to be scared to death. And yet, if Mary is scared to death, we are told nothing about her feelings. What we find here is that she sings a song of joy. How could Mary have joy in this situation? How is it possible for her, when her entire life has just changed, to be filled with joy? Well, as we read through the Bible, there is a constant message that comes to us. Time and time again, we are told to rejoice. We are told to be joyful. In fact, if you were to read through the Bible and count all the number of times that the word rejoice or joy appears, it would be amazing. Joy appears in the Bible more than 240 times. Rejoice 192. If I have my math right, that's over 430 times that the Bible tells us either to rejoice or it talks about being joyful. This command is repeated over and over again. Maybe even we are mindful of what Paul writes in Philippians, where in one verse he says the word twice: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. To rejoice means to not only have joy, but it means to be joyful. To rejoice means that we are filled with exceeding gladness, but it also means we express this joy. We act upon it. That's exactly what Mary is doing in our text for today. She is singing a song that expresses her joy that she is experiencing. But I think this morning, as we come to this text, there's a stark reality that becomes true. Joy is easier to command than it is to experience. Joy is easier to command than it is to experience. It's one thing to be told that we should be people of joy. It's another thing entirely for us to always rejoice. But that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to experience joy. I want you to think about this truth with me this morning. Think about this. There is nothing God wants more for you than for you to experience His joy. Think about that. There is nothing in this world that God wants more for you than for you to be filled with joy. God wants your life to be filled with joy. Do you know that? Or maybe the better question this morning is, do you believe that? Do you believe that above everything else, God wants you to be filled with joy? If God were to send you a text this morning, we used to say if God sent you a letter, but we need to be a little bit more advanced today. If God sent you a text, if God sent you an email, if God sent you a Facebook message this morning, what might it say? What about this? My dear child, I want to tell you how much I rejoice in you. It makes me so sad when I see that you don't believe how much I enjoy you. Sometimes you get so distracted by your failures and your weaknesses, and you imagine that I look at you with a frown on my face instead of a smile, but I don't. When I think of you, I experience great joy. Think of the joy a parent has when a child is born. Imagine the smiles on their faces as they stare into the eyes of this newborn child. That's how I feel about you. What great joy I had when you were born again. I caused all of heaven to rejoice. And I want more than anything else for my joy to be in you and my joy to be full and complete in your life. Psalm 119 says this, "For the Lord takes delight in his people." It's true. Joy is exactly what God wants for us. God wants nothing more than for us to be filled with incredible joy in our lives. But the truth is, we don't always experience this joy. We want joy. We desperately seek joy, but joy often seems to be absent from us. I read this week about a doctor who was speaking with a patient, and the doctor said, "The most dangerous disease in the world is a lack of joy." The doctor said the absence of joy spreads chaos not only in our relationships, but this lack of joy affects us physically. The doctor said the absence of joy possibly causes more sickness than anything else in the world. Why? Why is there such a lack of joy? If God wants nothing more than for us to be filled with joy, then why is it that we have a hard time experiencing it? Maybe we get confused sometimes about where joy comes from. Maybe we get caught up and we forget about the true source of joy. Think about Mary. Mary experienced and expressed joy because she accepted the place and position God wanted her to have. Mary experienced joy because when the angel came to her and said, "This is what God's going to do in your life," she said, "May it be to me as the angel has said." Mary experienced joy because she didn't ask for something different or something more. She gladly received what God wanted her to have. Mary experienced joy because she found something greater than herself. It was the opportunity, it was her willingness to serve God and to be used by God to benefit someone else. Psalm 94, verse 19 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation, God, brought me joy." You know, we as Christians used to talk about joy as an acronym, as Jesus, others, and you. We don't talk about that quite as much today, but joy is Jesus, others, and you. I remember even as a child thinking, that makes me a little uncomfortable. Why? Because in some ways, maybe it seems to downplay the role of the self. In fact, some people may have even interpreted that little acronym as saying, don't worry about self-care. Don't worry about caring for yourself. Only focus on Jesus and others. But, you know, the more I've thought about that acronym, here's how I understand it. I think what it means is this. We experience the most joy in our lives when we give of ourselves in service to God and in service to other people. You see, Mary serves as our example. She experienced joy when she committed herself to God and when she gave herself to God's plan to be used by God to benefit other people. Sometimes in life, we believe that other people or situations in life can take away our joy. They can actually steal joy away from us, is what we begin to believe. But the truth is, there's nothing in the Bible that says joy can ever be taken away from us. There are some who would say that when we become Christians, we are not supposed to have concerns or problems anymore. But again, we don't see this in the Bible, certainly not in the life of Jesus. We are people of God. But we are not promised isolation from the problems and tragedies that are common to the rest of humanity. We, as Christians, experience the same thing other people experience. What we as Christians are promised, however, is that when life throws us a curve, when life places an obstacle in our way, when all of our plans are changed from what we wanted or expected, none of those experiences are the last word. God's presence in our lives and God's desire for us to be filled with joy, those things are the last word. The enemies of our inner peace, the people and the things in life that try to steal our joy, they will not go away. They will always be with us. But for the Christian, in spite of these things, the Christmas story reminds us that joy can break through and fill us with enough light to press on. That's what Mary knew, and that's what the message of joy is for us during this Advent season. You see, we don't earn joy. We cannot purchase joy. We can never be good enough to receive joy because we have enough or we are enough or we have deserved joy. God simply wants to give it to us. And maybe sometimes we lose our sense of joy because we get caught up in the frantic race of having and acquiring. Maybe sometimes we lose our sense of joy when wanting becomes more important than having. Maybe we lose our sense of joy when, instead of being satisfied with what God has blessed us with, we cry out for more, more, more. Maybe we lose our sense of joy when we forget the joy of giving. Bobby was getting cold sitting out in his backyard in the snow. Bobby didn't wear any boots. He didn't have any, but he didn't like them anyway. His thin sneakers that he had plenty of holes in them, and they did a very poor job of keeping him warm out in the snow that cold evening. But he sat out in his backyard. He had been there for about an hour, and try as he might, he could not come up with an idea for his mother for a Christmas gift. And it was Christmas Eve. He thought to himself, this is useless. Even if I do come up with a gift, I don't have any money to spend. You see, ever since his father had died 3 years earlier, the family had struggled. It wasn't because his mother didn't care. It wasn't because she didn't try. There just never seemed to be enough to go around. Mother worked nights at the hospital, and she earned a small wage, but it could only be stretched so far. Well, when the family lacked for money and material things, which they did, they made up for these things with love and family unity. Bobby had two older sisters and he had one younger sister, and his sisters tended to take care of the house while the mother worked. And all three of the sisters had gotten together and they had made a beautiful gift for their mother for Christmas. And somehow it wasn't fair because here it was Christmas Eve and Bobby had nothing to give. Well, wiping a tear from his eye, he kicked the snow off of his shoes and he started walking down the street to where the shops and the stores were. It wasn't easy being 8 years old without a father, especially at a time like this when he needed to talk to another man to give him some advice and to tell him what to do. But he finally walked down the street and went from shop to shop, looking at all the decorations in the windows. Everything seemed so beautiful, but all of it was so far out of his reach. Well, it started to get dark, so Bobby reluctantly turned to walk toward home, but suddenly his eyes caught the glimmer of the setting sun's rays on something shiny along the curb. He went over and looked, and there was a quarter, 25 cents. Never before had anyone felt so wealthy as Bobby did in that moment, 25 cents. Well, he quickly decided to go to the store to see what he could buy, so he went in the first store and full of excitement, but that excitement quickly dwindled as the shop owner told him there was nothing in that store he could purchase for 25 cents. So he walked back out and across the street he saw a flower shop and he went inside. When the shop owner asked him what he wanted to purchase, Bobby presented his quarter and he said, "Can I buy one small flower for my mother for her Christmas gift?" The shop owner looked at Bobby and his 25-cent offering, and he put his hand on Bobby's shoulder and said, "Tell you what, you wait right here, I'll be right back." As Bobby waited, he looked around the beautiful flower shop, and he could understand, even though he was a boy, why his mother and his sisters liked flowers so much. The sound of the door closing as the last customer left the flower shop jolted him back to reality, and Bobby, standing there all alone, began to become afraid. Suddenly, the shop owner came out of the back and he moved to the counter. And there before Bobby's eyes were 12 long-stem red roses with leaves of green and little white flowers, all tied together with a beautiful silver bow. But his heart sank as the shop owner placed them in front of him. He could never afford such a gift. "That'll be 25 cents, young man," the shop owner said, reaching his hand out to receive the quarter. Slowly, Bobby moved his hand to give the man his quarter, but the shop owner, recognizing his reluctance, said this, "You know what? I just happened to have these flowers in the back, and they're roses that were on sale, 25 cents for a dozen. Would you like to have them?" This time, Bobby didn't hesitate, and when the man placed the flowers into his hands, he knew it was true. And walking out the door of that shop, as the shop owner held the door open for him, the shop owner said, "Merry Christmas, son." And he closed the door. The shop owner turned around and his wife was standing there. She said, "Who are you talking to? And what happened to those flowers that you had in the back?" Staring out the window, blinking a tear from his own eye, the shop owner said, "A strange thing happened to me this morning. While I was setting up things to open the shop, I thought I heard this voice that told me to set aside a dozen of my best roses for a very special gift. I wasn't sure at the time whether I'd lost my mind or what, but I set them aside anyway. And just a few moments ago, this little boy came in the shop and he wanted to buy some flowers for his mother, but he only had a quarter. And when I looked at him, I saw myself many years ago. For I, too, was a poor boy that had nothing to buy for his mother for Christmas. And as I walked down the street, a bearded man whom I never met told me that he wanted to give me $10. And I bought my mother a Christmas present. When I saw that little boy tonight, I knew who that voice was earlier today. And I put together a dozen of my very best roses so he could give his mother a Christmas gift. The shop owner and his wife stepped out, closed up the shop on Christmas Eve, and walked out into the cold. But for some reason, the night didn't seem so cold. Give, and it will be given to you. Give joy, and joy will be given to you. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. It is better to give than to receive. Joy is Jesus, others, and you. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, for a gift of joy that we could never earn or purchase, this day we are grateful. Open our hearts, and may we find that in giving of ourselves to you and to others, we truly experience your joy. So, Lord, during this Advent season, as we once again wait the coming of the Christ child into our lives, may we wait with hope and peace, and this morning, especially with joy. So lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.